Welcome to the Midday for a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Norman Gilliland, and again, with live music in our Buck studio today, long tradition here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're happy, honored to have our guest today in the form of Andre Peck, who is the 2026 Final Forte competition winner, has a lot of other accolades to his credit, too, been on From the Top, for example, and all kinds of other things, but welcome to the Midday, Andre Peck.
Thanks to everyone here to invite me here, and it's really an honor to be on this show. I've been a fan for as long as I can remember.
Well, you'll have to come back sometime in more relaxed circumstances. You can ask the quiz question.
Okay.
Be really part of the show. And it was, I must say, a dynamo performance of your Prokofiev first piano concerto, that opening movement. With those wonderful motor rhythms going. How did you discover that piece?
I got invited by a conductor in La Crosse, my hometown, to play with their orchestra. And it just so happened that that piece was one of the pieces that my teacher and I were looking at to eventually play. So we ended up learning it, and the Prokofiev First was in La Crosse was my first performance of that piece with orchestra, and it was really a great experience.
I'm sure it was an exciting experience for everybody because it is a powerful, really engaging piece, that piano concerto. In La Crosse, let's see, what is your educational status at this point?
I'm a junior in high school. I just go to a public school, Logan High School, and I'm studying piano in the Twin Cities in St. Paul with a private teacher named Dr. Joseph Zins. He is just in downtown St. Paul, and I love him dearly.
What are you learning so far from him in terms of the big picture?
I'm learning that a teacher is really important, and that music is all about the emotional qualities instead of trying to best everyone. And really the only reason that competitions are super important are because it gives musicians like myself an experience and a way to make music and advance their careers.
Sure, because more people get to know about you, and there are lots of wonderful musicians out there that we don't hear about for one reason or another, but these competitions certainly provide that opportunity, which is very important for promising performers. Well, let's get started with work by Haydn, and he was very prolific as a writer for keyboard solo, but for whatever reason, we don't hear Haydn piano sonatas in competitions and concerts. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, honestly, I feel like Mozart sonatas kind of tend to be played more in competitions, but also with this rising level of pedagogy, especially in younger players, you really don't hear very much of the classical era in general. You more hear romantic, impressionism, modern stuff, more so than a Bach Prelude and Fugue or a Haydn or Mozart sonata.
Just because it's more flamboyant?
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, the romantics were great that way. Very flamboyant. And some of them, of course, their successors carried that on too a little bit into the early post-romantic era of the 20th century. Well, what about this Haydn movement we're about to hear?
It's a really unique piece. Haydn was classical, but he was very influenced by Baroque, the Baroque style. And you can really see that in this piece. There's a lot of ornamentation, especially from like the beginning. There's all this ornamentation, and he kind of takes these Baroque ideas and puts them into this sonata. But at the same time, he also, this sonata is very romantic, because it, well, first of all, it has four flats, which is really an uncommon key for a lot of classical sonatas or classical pieces to be in general. I don't think there's very many Haydn sonatas or Mozart sonatas that have more than three sharps or flats. And the way that this piece is very simple, but it's really profound at the same time, is a really interesting part of the way that Haydn manages to have a romantic era feeling and also a Baroque style as well.
So here we go with the first movement from the Haydn Sonata in A-flat with Andre Peck at our Mason and Hamlin. it takes insight and intuition to make Haydn sing like that.
Yeah, it's difficult to make it so that it doesn't sound boring almost, because a lot of the time people are under the impression that a lot of the classical era music is more background music, and it's really difficult to make the very small emotional minutiae make sense to the listener and then also stay faithful to what the composer would have wanted.
That was the opening movement of Haydn's Sonata in A-flat, and our guest today, live in our Buck studio, is Andre Peck, who is going to be providing us with works from several eras. And speaking of singing, have you ever heard any of the songs of Chopin?
I haven't.
Well, to my limited ear, I would say that actually the piano solos sing even more effectively than the songs, where you have words with them. Maybe requires more listening, but Chopin did make the piano sing in a way that nobody else could.
Yeah, I think that his overall style was very... it touched the emotions of the listener, to me, much more than a lot of his predecessors. And the way that his melodies kind of flow and keep continuing, but also have this subdued nature sometimes, makes it really, a lot of his melodies very heartbreaking to me. And I assume that's probably the same for the songs that he wrote.
For sure. He had certainly enough heartbreak to go around to put into the music, but the sheer lyricism is, I think, the overarching power in those works. And Ballade tends to, at least by implication, tell some kind of a narrative, some kind of a story. Do you feel there's such thing going on in this ballade you're about to play?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of the inspiration from this came from a poem that one of his friends wrote about power disparities and helplessness and kind of a hopeless feeling. And I feel like that's definitely a main theme in this ballade that I'm about to play. A lot of the piece is almost a battle between the two themes, one of which is... and then this happier theme, which is... but really, while you can kind of differentiate these as being a happy and a sad theme, the way that both of them are placed kind of makes both of them equally tragic, even though one of them sounds much more happy and calming and relaxing than the other one. And the way that Chopin kind of juxtaposes these two themes together makes for a really satisfying story, and you can kind of hear how they're building on top of each other to a really satisfying ending.
The Ballade number 1 in G minor by Frédéric Chopin.
Thank you.
I can imagine Chopin applauding too.
Thanks.
After that performance of his Ballade No. 1 in G minor, our pianist here in our Buck studio today is Andre Peck. He's a student at Logan High School in La Crosse for another year after this. And some wonderful things to come. A great treat for the high school to have you. And, of course, great treat for us to be able to share your artistry with our listeners in the studio and beyond. And that includes sharing the quiz question, which is right after this here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're back with the review of yesterday's Word Square quiz question. Three-letter words across would give you three more three-letter words down. The first word for an outlawed piece of headgear, that would be a fez, outlawed in Turkey in 1925 and in Egypt in 1958, but very popular still among the Shriners. And under that goes with New Year's, that would be Eve, E-V-E. Under that, lots of cash would be a wad, W-A-D. And those three words across gave you yesterday down. The chosen would be few, F-E-W. A spacewalk would be an E-V-A, extra vehicular activity. And then King Charles's last letter would be Z. That's what they call the letter Z in some of the Commonwealth countries. And that was yesterday's question. Here's today's from our beverage department. An 18th century European ruler banned the import of this beverage because he thought his subjects should stick with what he considered a more manly drink. Very popular beverage, this one that he banned. I venture to say many of our studio audience partook of this beverage today that Frederick would have disapproved of. Here it is again. An 18th century European ruler banned the import of this beverage because he thought his subjects should stick with what he considered a more manly drink. And I'll tell you what the more manly drink is and what the banned beverage was when we get to the solution of our quiz question. In the meantime, you can email your answer to us at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda. We'll see just before one who wins our prize. But of course, in the meantime, the real prize is our live music from our pianist here, Andre Peck, who takes us now to France. And French composers, Debussy and Ravel in particular, seem to love the water. Debussy didn't like being on the water, but he liked thinking about it and writing about it. And that created some masterpieces for both composers, including, of course, Ravel.
Ravel's Jadot directly translates to water games or the fountains. It's kind of unclear for many music critics what it actually translates to, but French linguists are pretty determined that it translates to water games. But regardless, it's definitely a piece about water, and a lot of the imagery comes from the, you know, glistening arpeggios, like. And these arpeggios kind of make the feeling of waves going back and forth, or you can also think about it as kind of a fountain spurting water in the air and having it all fall down into the pool underneath. But Ravel was really kind of one of the first impressionist composers to bring a classical traditionality to the impressionism, like the genre of impressionism. And this is done by a few things. For one, he had a lot of the same forms, like sonata form, which Jadot is in. Or he also had this phrasing technique, which was kind of a two short mini phrases followed by a long phrase. And a lot of people call this the 1-2 go, or ready, set, go. And it's a really interesting aspect, and you can kind of hear it all throughout, not just Ravel, but a lot of other composers, how they have two things that are almost the same, and then their third utterance starts out usually in the same way, but then continues on into something brand new, which is one of the things that Ravel and a lot of other composers did really well. And then also Jadot was a really interesting piece because it was his first major masterwork, and it's unlike a lot of his other works because it's a one-movement piece. It's not that long. And it still has all of the ideas and phrasing structures as a lot of the later works of Ravel. And that's what's one of the most interesting parts of Jadot.
Jadot by Ravel.
Thank you.
Godot by Maurice Ravel, played by Andre Peck, live in our Buck studio. Makes me wonder if that hasn't been somewhere along the line transcribed for harp. There are some sections in there that just seem to beg for it, aren't there?
Yeah, probably.
We will have a repeat of our quiz question right after this here on WPR. Our quiz question for today has to do with this beverage that a prominent European 18th century leader banned, thinking that his subjects and his military should have a more manly beverage. Identify the beverage that was banned there in the 18th century in Europe in the next 16 minutes, and maybe you'll win the prize today. And you can email your answer to us as usual at midday@wpr.org. Or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda. We'll see who from among our correct respondents wins the prize just before 1 o'clock. And now back to our pianist, Andre Peck, and latter-day romantic by the name of Sergei Rachmaninoff.
His etudes to blow were, or translate to, study pictures, and they were really designed to be short little tidbits of music that invoke a very vivid emotional scene. The one I'm going to play is called The Day of Wrath, although that the legitimacy of that is questionable. But it's the way that makes it so scary almost and very emotionally deadly is in the fact that, one, it's in F sharp minor, which was seen as a very dark and brooding key, especially for Rachmaninoff. But two, it's very dense in the chord study. That's the opening chord. And throughout the entire piece, both hands are playing pretty much always two notes at a time. And that makes it so that the overall feeling of the piece is very dark and dense. And then it becomes really scary when it ends up being much lighter with only one note in both hands. And it's a really kind of a crazy contrast that makes it really, the piece seem very deadly and dark and brooding.
Etude Tableau in F sharp minor by Rachmaninoff. Thank you. maybe yes, maybe no, the Day of Wrath, but it certainly is enigmatic, isn't it?
Yeah.
That Etude Tableau in F sharp minor by Sergei Rachmaninoff, a composer just about everybody looked up to. Why? Well, great music, but he was also 6.5 feet tall. And that brings us full circle. We started out talking about Prokofiev and your performance of that first movement from the first piano concerto, Prokofiev. And when we see the word sonata, we think of something longer than 8 minutes. But is this true? Is this a full-fledged Prokofiev piano sonata?
Yeah, it's an interesting piece. It's one of the only Prokofiev sonatas that is one movement. And it's, when I think of it, it seems similar to the last three sonatas, which were titled the War Sonatas, because it's very, there's a lot of this energy that keeps building. And that kind of relates to some of the Prokofiev's lines or tenets that he wrote in his autobiography. There's five tenets of Prokofiev, one of which is the motoric theme, which is a constant driving rhythm, which can be seen in this. And that theme is, not theme, but that driving rhythm is very prominent throughout the whole piece. And it's, the entire piece is pretty much in triplets, except for when it slows down and gets to a very lyric, these lyrical sections that is, was also one of Prokofiev's most important lines, the lyric theme, the lyric line, which was self-proclaimed as his most important line. And then these dissonant harmonies of Prokofiev are part of the motoric line, the modern line, which were these dense harmonies like, or that were kind of a staple of Prokofiev, but also a lot of contemporary modern stuff that you hear from, you know, the 19th, 20th century. And the whole deal with this sonata is that the fact that it's in one movement makes it so that all of the music that would usually be in a 30, 40-minute sonata has to be condensed into only 8 minutes of repertoire, which is kind of interesting, but also makes it really difficult, especially because he imposes the two main themes of the piece on top of each other at the same time, or has six lines that everyone has to pay attention to all of them, which is incredibly difficult to pull off for an instrument like the piano, where there's no, you can really only get one type of tone quality. And if, you know, if it was an orchestrated piece, then you could have the violins playing one line and the brass playing another line. But the fact that it's on piano makes it extremely difficult to bring out all of these intricacies and inner lines that make this sonata this sonata.
And that's what Andrei Pek is about to do with the Prokofiev Sonata No. 3 in A minor. Thank you. Live in our Buck studio for this edition of The Midday. with the Prokofiev Sonata No. 3 in A minor. He is a student at Logan High School in La Crosse. Also the 2025 Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra Young Artist Concerto Competition winner and the 2026 Final Forte Competition winner. And thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Look forward to hearing more, much more.